invited to their official dinner, and as the designated officer I naturally see it as part of my duties to...
15 courses, I heard.
And, of course, there is our policy of maintaining a friendly relationship with the other
Not including the nuts and coffee?
The bursar hesitated. The Arch-Chancellor tended to combine wooden-headed stupidity with distressing insight. "The problem, Arch-Chancellor," he tried, "is that we have always been very much against using movable type printing for magic purposes, because..."
"Yes, yes, you know all about that," said the Arch-Chancellor. "But there's all the other stuff, more of it every day. Forms and charts and God's knows what. You know I've always wanted a paperless office."
"Yes, Arch-Chancellor, that's why you hide it in all the cupboards and throw it out of the window at night."
"Clean desk, clean mind," said the Arch-Chancellor.
He thrust the leaflet into the bursar's hand.
"Just you trot down there, why don't you, and see if it's just a lot of hot air. But walk, please."
William felt drawn back to the sheds behind the buckets next day. Apart from anything else, he had nothing to do, and he didn't like being useless. There are, it has been said, two types of people in the world. There are those who, when presented with a glass that is exactly half full, say, "This glass is half full." And then there are those who say, "This glass is half empty." The world belongs, however, to those who can look at the glass and say, "What's up with this glass? Excuse me, excuse me. This is my glass? I don't think so. My glass was full, and it was a bigger glass." And at the other end of the bar, the world is full of the other type of person, who has a broken glass, or a glass that has been carelessly knocked over, usually by one of the people calling for a larger glass, or who has no glass at all because they were at the back of the crowd and had failed to catch the barman's eye. William was one of the glassless. And this was odd because he'd been born into a family that not only had a very large glass indeed, but could afford to have people discreetly standing around with bottles to keep it filled up. It was self-imposed glasslessness, and it had started at a fairly early age when he'd been sent away to school. William's brother Rupert, being the elder, had gone to the Assassin School in Ankh-Morpork, widely regarded as being the best school in the world for the full glass class. William, as a less important son, had been sent to Hugglestones, a boarding school so bleak and Spartan that only the upper glasses would dream of sending their sons there. Hugglestones was a granite building on a rain-soaked moor, and its stated purpose was to make men from boys. The policy employed involved a certain amount of wastage, and consisted, in William's recollection at least, of very simple and violent games in the healthy outdoor sleet. The small, slow, fat, or merely unpopular were mown down as nature intended, but natural selection operates in many ways, and William found that he had a certain capacity for survival. A good way to survive on the playing fields of Hugglestones was to run very fast and shout a lot, while inexplicably always being a long way from the ball. This had earned him, oddly enough, a reputation for being keen, and keenness was highly prized at Hugglestones, if only because actual achievement was so rare. The staff at Hugglestones believed that in sufficient quantities, being keen could take the place of lesser attributes like intelligence, foresight, and training. He had been truly keen on anything involving words. At Hugglestones this had not counted for a great deal, since most of its graduates never expected to have to do much more with a pen than sign their names, a feat which most of them could manage after 3 or 4 years. But it had meant long mornings peacefully reading anything that took his fancy, while around him the hulking front row forwards, who would one day be at least the deputy leaders of the land, learned how to hold a pen without crushing it. William left with a good report, which tended to be the case with pupils that most of the teachers could only vaguely remember. Afterwards, his father had faced the problem of what to do with him. He was the younger son, and family tradition sent youngest sons into some church or other, where they couldn't do much harm on a physical level. But too much reading had taken its toll. William found that he now thought of prayer as a sophisticated way of pleading with thunderstorms. Going into land management was just about acceptable, but it seemed to William that land managed itself pretty well, on the whole. He was all in favour of the countryside, provided it was on the other side of a window. A military career somewhere was unlikely,